Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Israel is burning. That's the hashtag that's been trending. While some of the blaze originally may have been accidentally started or naturally occurring, such as by a lightning strike, some of the fires are known to be arson, perhaps started as a hate crime based on hatred of Israel. You would never, purely on chance, see that many disconnected fires happen all at once all over the country. Furthermore, authorities have some video evidence of arson. Quite a few suspects have been taken into custody. Many officials have classed the arson as a form of terrorism. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has pledged to deal with terrorism as terrorism, regardless of whether it's in the form of arson or otherwise. Many have observed that the arsonists obviously don't truly love the land of Israel slash Palestine, nor view it as their ancestral homeland, or they would never have set fire to it in the first place. The thing about starting a wildfire in Israel is that it can kill both Muslims, Christians, and Jews indiscriminately. Likewise, it can blindly burn down homes and businesses of both friend and so-called opponent. Wildfire cannot tell the difference between an Arab property and a Hebrew property, or between a Palestinian property and an Israeli property. The Palestinian Authority has sent help, having dispatched its firefighters to help put out the blaze. Much fire suppression assistance has come from several nations around the world. Despite the fact that little coverage of the tragedy was available on the U.S. mainstream media, I was aware of the fires from the start. First, because I was an eyewitness to the spreading flames of the earliest fires. I was co-leading a tour group in Israel that returned home the day before Thanksgiving. Along with my wife and my mother and the others on the bus, just as we were about to return home, we saw the growing fires approaching the highway on which our bus was traveling. We learned soon afterward that homes had been destroyed, and then later our suspicions were confirmed that some of the fires were deliberately set. Second, because of our connections to Israeli friends, as well as U.S. friends who, like me, are members of Christians United for Israel or affiliated with the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem, I followed a steady stream of updates via social media messaging. The mayor of the city of Haifa in Israel has asked the International Christian Embassy, Jerusalem, to help with elderly evacuees since ICEJ has several Holocaust survivor homes in Haifa. You can help. Donations can be made at www.icej.org. That's ICEJ.org. A United Kingdom newspaper, The Independent, has reported that an Al-Qaeda-linked Palestinian militant group has claimed responsibility for setting the devastating blaze in Haifa. Although they have not yet presented proof of their claim, the Salafist group has claimed to be behind several previous blazes in Israel, including the Mount Carmel forest fire that killed more than 40 people near Haifa in 2010, a fire near Jerusalem in 2011, and a fire in the U.S. state of Nevada in 2012. According to the article, a previous statement from the terrorist group demanded that Jewish people, quote, return from whence they came, since they have no place among us, end quote, and threatened to continue arson attacks in Israel and among the country's allies. Terrorism monitors at the Jamestown Foundation said the group's claims were questionable, but that it was fixated on the use of fire as a weapon of jihad. The Jerusalem Post reports that after days of fighting the blazes, the fires are now under control. One official estimated that half of the fires were arson. Somewhere around 80,000 residents of the Haifa area had to be evacuated from their homes. Early on, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had said that Israel's squadron of 14 firefighting aircraft was not enough, and that he had turned to other countries for assistance. By midnight of the same day, he said, an additional 10 planes were to have arrived from Russia, Greece, Italy, Cyprus, and Turkey. The two planes from Russia were of the massive Barayev BE-200 type, an aircraft that can carry up to 12,000 liters of water scooped out of the sea in some 14 seconds. The Russians sent 19 crew members along with the two planes, and a third such plane was to arrive later. Greece sent 3 planes and a crew of 32. Croatia sent 2 planes and a crew of 14. Turkey sent 2 planes and an 8-member crew. Italy sent 2 planes and a crew of 13. And Cyprus sent its sole firefighting plane and a crew of 7. France and Ukraine both sent 2 planes each. Netanyahu said that he issued directives requesting the U.S. to send the world's largest firefighting aircraft, a 747-based supertanker, the only such plane with the capability of operating at night. The supertanker, which reportedly costs $1.5 million to rent, was brought to Israel back in 2010 to help battle the Mount Carmel forest fire. It can carry close to 20,000 gallons of firefighting liquids, including water, foaming agents, and fire retardants. The Jerusalem Post also reported that Netanyahu spoke on Thursday with Russian President Vladimir Putin and thanked him for positively and quickly responding to Israel's request to help in the efforts. The phone conversation was the 7th between the two leaders since the beginning of the year. Turkey sent a large firefighting aircraft. After the Turkish offer of assistance was made, Netanyahu issued a statement saying he appreciated the move. Ankara only recently resumed full diplomatic ties with Jerusalem after 6 years of downgraded relations following an incident in 2010. The Turkish embassy in Tel Aviv said on Twitter Thursday evening that another 2 Turkish amphibious aircraft were on the way. Turkey sent 2 planes to Israel in December 2010 to fight the Mount Carmel forest fire at the height of the diplomatic crisis between the two countries. And in 2011, Israel dispatched mobile homes to Turkey following a massive earthquake there. Regarding these recent fires, more than a few people have drawn a parallel with the biblical account of Solomon having judged which was the real mother of a disputed baby. In his famous wisdom, he ordered the baby to be sliced in half in front of the two mothers and watched their reaction to the order. The false mother approved of the judgment, but the real mother pleaded for the baby to be given away rather than killed. Solomon then rescinded the order and declared her to be the real mother and awarded her the child. The parallel that some have drawn is that the land of Israel is the disputed baby, and the Palestinians and the Israelis are 2 competing claimants of being the rightful owners of their ancestral homeland. Among the Palestinians, some of the Arabs claim the Jews should go back from whence they came, when in fact the land of Israel is from whence they came. Meanwhile, those same Arabs cannot seem to explain how they arrived in the area from the deserts of Arabia some 1,000 miles away. Even during heights of tension between the two sides, we can find hope in the fact that many Israeli Jews and not a few Palestinian Muslims desire peace with each other. It's encouraging to see reports of Arab-Palestinian Muslims who desire for Israel to continue to serve as a homeland for the Jewish people. One of the friends I've met through Christians United for Israel is Kasim Hafiz, a former Islamist who is now a proud Zionist and human rights activist. He's a public speaker and writer and a fellow at the Lawfare Project. He recently shared a Washington Post article written by Michael Wolff, headlined with, "Meet the Muslims who sacrifice themselves to save Jews and fight Nazis in World War II. Kasim commented, quote, "It's so much easier to generalize and hate groups rather than look at any good. Does that mean there aren't any issues? Of course not. But it's a lot easier to sit behind your computer sharing articles and spewing venom towards people when these people put their lives on the line," end quote. The Bible teaches us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. And that means desiring peace for all sides of the conflict in Israel. Jesus commanded his followers, believers, to not only love our neighbor, but to even love our enemies and to pray for them, Matthew 5:44. That directive from our Lord is the answer not only for the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians, but it's also the answer for the horrific racial tensions and class warfare we're suffering here in the United States. The Bible teaches us a powerful wisdom in Psalm 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's the King James Version. The New International Version renders the verse this way: "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." regardless of which side of American politics you're on, and regardless of which side you most identify with in the racial tensions and class warfare happening now, I plead with you to offer a soft answer instead of a harsh tone. We need healing now, not incitement. Please look over your social media wall, placing yourself in the shoes of those you oppose, and consider whether your tone seeks to promote more hatred instead of seeking to promote healing. I'm not asking you to not take sides against evil. We need to do that. One of my friends, Rand Foreman, recently posted this notable quote from the late Elie Wiesel, a Jewish survivor of the Holocaust. Quote, "I swore never to be silent whenever and wherever human beings endure suffering and humiliation. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented." I could not agree more. But in taking sides and speaking up, do so with the proper tone. We must seek to preserve and propagate civility, not devolve into barbarism just because we're potentially faced with barbarism. The Jewish people, as a whole, are doing their best to fulfill their mandate to be a light to the nations. Christian believers, on the whole, are seeking to fulfill the command of our Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus, to be the light of the world. Many good and peace-loving Muslims are striving to distance themselves from the radical Islamists and to denounce and decry the violence and terror of the radicals. Right now in Israel, Jewish and Muslim and Christian soldiers in the IDF are serving side by side, having each other's back. Right now in Israel, Jewish and Muslim and Christian firefighters are working shoulder to shoulder to suppress, literally, the flames of hate. If they can look past their differences to respect each other and look beyond each other's faults to work together for the common good, then we here in the United States can do the same. Regardless of your religion or lack thereof, regardless of your political affiliation or lack thereof, we can hopefully bind together to see peace restored here, even as we pray for peace to be restored in Israel. One of the crucial first steps is to police yourself regarding your tone. A soft answer turns away wrath. Let me bring you a noteworthy quote from the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Quote, "I attack ideas. I don't attack people. And some very good people have some very bad ideas. And if you can't separate the two, you got to get a better day job." End quote. The bad habit of attacking people instead of dealing with their argument is so common that we have a Latin phrase for doing so, argumentum ad hominem, which translates to something along the lines of argument to the man or arguing against the person. One of the facets of a soft answer that turns away wrath is to actually deal with the issue rather than attack the person who disagrees with you on the issue. We saw a lot of ad hominem attacks in recent days, both before and after the elections. Those whose knee-jerk reaction to an opposing viewpoint is to yell racist and Hitler, etc., are almost certainly practicing the bad politics of ad hominem attacks. This is the opposite of a soft answer. It's a harsh answer that's almost certain to exacerbate instead of helping matters. For the love of our country, for the love of the rule of law, for the love of peace and stability, for the love of each other, please stop doing that. I hesitate to sound preachy on it because I don't have a perfect track record, but it needs to be said. And perhaps no one on earth has a perfect track record, so I'm treading to say it. A soft answer turns away wrath. We can speak truth to power respectfully. We can seek a redress of grievances respectfully. I realize I'm stepping on toes here, including my own. You can either say amen or oh me. God help us to realize how we sound to the other side. A soft answer turns away wrath. And now let's segue via some great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dee.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I wanna be standing on your side, a holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, and this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I wanna be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, and this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise.
That was the namesake track from Phillips, Craig, and Dean's project entitled Let the Worshippers Arise. I thought I might talk some more, but I've seen a couple of great tracks here from music by Phillips, Craig, and Dean that I want to go ahead and bring to you today. And I think I have time to bring you another one of my favorites, plus bring you one from one of their Christmas projects, since we're past Thanksgiving and kind of headed into the Christmas prep season. From another one of their projects, this is also the namesake track. It's called Let My Words Be Few.
You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am.
shall stand in awe of you, Jesus. Yes, I'll stand in awe of you. And I let my words be few, 'cause Jesus, I am so in love with you. The simplest of all love songs I want to bring to you. Oh, yeah. So I'll let my words be few. Hey. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stay.
Right, and now, as I mentioned, I want to bring you a wonderful Christmas song from Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I believe they have multiple Christmas projects out, but this one is from a Christmas project entitled Repeat the Sounding Joy. And this is the third track. The name of it is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. That's a very standard refrain, but they really do a great job on it. And so let's head into the Christmas season prayerfully and giving thanks to God for each other, for our homes, and for the Savior. Thank you for joining us today for The Voice of Truth. I encourage you to join us next week at the same time when we again turn our hearts toward the Word of God. And I wish you a Merry Christmas, and I encourage you to seek the Lord in the fullness of truth. Obey Acts 2:38 and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.